Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
I want to take a moment and honor my dad, who is online today. I want to take a moment and honor you for your kindness. I want to thank you for modeling three words, not only for me, but for our entire church. Love never fails. Not only did you model it, you share it, and you established it in this house that is now across this region. And so from my heart to yours, I want to honor you. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Well, gentlemen, I have a single verse, one verse today. And for me, at least, it's the greatest insight from Jesus that I pray each of us continues to take. And I say this, that word intentionally, that you would continue to take it intentionally for this reason, that it doesn't matter if you start to follow Jesus today or you've been following Jesus for 40 years. God is faithful, and everyone said. But you know who else has an attribute of faithfulness in the opposite way of your father is your spiritual enemy. And if he can rob you in the last season of your life, he desires to. And there is something that now you're seeing in the world where men who have followed Jesus can be beginning to be formed by the anger of this world rather than by the love of God. And I believe it's a challenge for all of us, not just to begin, but to finish well. And so the Bible tells the story of many fathers, but it's the story of only one perfect Heavenly Father. And the Old Testament alludes to God as Father about 15 times. But because of Jesus, the number of times that God is referred to as Father, it balloons to a few hundred times in the New Testament. And one specific instance is when Jesus told us, if we want to pray like he prays, it begins with an understanding not of what we say, but of who our Father is. When Jesus wanted to teach us how to pray, he said, it begins with an understanding that God is your Father. Of all the words that Jesus could have used to describe God, he chose a one that's rooted in family, our Father. And so today, because the Bible is full of stories, we could tell the stories of really good dads. And every dad who feels they're a good dad would be really inspired today. We could tell the story of how Abraham trusted God. And men, it's a really, ladies, this message is for you too, but I'm gonna tilt it towards the dads today. I know you can do the math. We could tell the story of how Abraham trusted God, and that's a great thing as dads that we can do as well. We can trust God. That's a wonderful example for our families. We could tell the story of how Job prayed for his kids, and it's a really vital thing that all of us be praying for our kids. That's another good lesson. Sometimes your kids don't need another lesson from you. They need you to go into your secret place and talk to your Heavenly Father about them. Sometimes when I can't talk to my kids about their stuff, I'm always remembered that I can talk to God about their stuff and God can talk to them. In the New Testament, we see Jairus seek out Jesus on behalf of his child, and that's really important. We could preach that. Or we could also go to narrative form, because Jesus told the story called the prodigal son that shows that the father's love, it's remarkable when we least deserve it, when it's not merited at all, that God pursues us with love and with kindness. And today we could preach about how good dads trust God and pray for our kids, protect them and love them by showing unmerited kindness. Turn to the person beside you and say, that's a big stretch. You know, even seek out Jesus on behalf of what they need, and we'd have proper biblical footing, but the scriptures also contain redemptive stories, stories where dads really, really, really miss the mark. We could talk about Eli. And I think it's really tender for a lot of men who is really, really good at his job, but he ignores his duty as a father. We could tell the story of David, who displays remarkable courage in facing Goliath, but doesn't seem to have the same courage with facing his own internal Goliaths, and also even the rebellion of his son Absalom. He's different towards it. We can tell the story of Lot when a violent mob attacks his home. And this is madness to me. It's in the Bible that he offers his daughters to appease the mob. And I'm like, what in the world? What is wrong with you? So judgmental I can become. In 2 Kings, we read the story of King Manasseh, a father whose failure damaged not only his own family, but a nation. And finally, in 2 Chronicles 14, it's a scripture that we love to bring in prayer meetings. We can read the story of succession from King David to Solomon to Asa, who starts out great but doesn't finish well. As I share at the beginning, it's really, really important to start out great, and the middle part's really great, and it's equally important to finish well. We could talk about all of these stories together as well, and we could pull from all of these lessons. We could look at where maybe dads had great intentions, but they fell short, and then what can we learn from their failures or their mistakes? We can use the Word of God to do that today, and that would be good. We could do that, but we're not going to do that. You know, so in an experiment, one of the things that myself and Pastor Mitch and Pastor Jeff did is we asked the various artificial intelligence platforms to take all of the Father's Day stories that churches preach that are online, that are available, and from the Bible as well, and help us synthesize what makes good and bad fathers. And here's what it created. Here's what good fathers do. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're a good dad. If it's a woman, just say it. Play along, please, or else it'll be awkward. Here's what we say. It says that good fathers, they lead their families spiritually. They correct and they guide their children. They model obedience to God. They protect and they provide. They seek God on behalf of their children. And then AI said, but here's what bad fathers do. Well, bad fathers ignore spiritual responsibility, and they fail to discipline wrongdoing, and they model compromise to sin. And then immediately I thought, like, well, there's not one dad who's been perfect who hasn't compromised to sin in one time in their other life. And they're a bad dad. Thanks a lot, AI. They neglect or they endanger their families, and they allow destructive behaviors to continue. And then it spit out a title of this message, and it is this: Fathers Who Bless or Break. What an encouraging message this would be. And then it had a reminder that a father's spiritual leadership affects generations. And if we wanted to preach a moralistic message today, we could just talk about good dads in contrast to bad dads. If we wanted to use all the wisdom of artificial intelligence, we could say, well, this is what good dads do, and this is what bad dads do. But here's the problem. For all of its data crunching, how many of you know that it completely misses the mark? What Jesus said is the heart of the good news that he brought into the world, which is this. What the platforms didn't pick up on very well at all is not how one can be a good dad or a bad dad, or even become a better dad. We all understand that parenting is not value neutral. It just isn't. Truthfully, there are good and there are bad dads. This is what makes today a joy for some and the most avoided Sunday in the calendar for others. Did you know that? That today is the most avoided Sunday intentionally, not like our kids had a hockey game. It's if there's a Sunday I'm going to miss, it's the one where they talk about fathers because of the pain of who my father was or wasn't. And so again, none of us misunderstand that parenting isn't value neutral. There are good and there are bad parents. Again, this is what makes it a joy for some and painful for others. However, the heart of the gospel is this. Is that every dad needs the love of the perfect Heavenly Father to be and to do everything that God entrusts them to do. You know, personally speaking, I'm a father to 6 incredible adults, and how they're all adults and how I'm in my 50s, I just blinked. I held Treff in my arms and I blinked. And I was watching him walk down, like, no, he wasn't walking down an aisle. He was at the front. Like, I blinked. I did have an awesome moment, though, recently, as a dad. He had a flat tire, so he called his dad. And his dad called the mobile tire repair truck. Hey, someone's got to boost the economy, okay? Someone has to boost it. You got a window problem? I'm an economic booster. I have a problem at the house? I'm calling one of you who know how to fix these things. So anyways, he arranged the appointment, and then he said, "Hey, Dad, I'm at work. They just showed up. Can you go?" And in my head, I was like, "I'm at work." But I'm a good dad in this moment. So I left, and I was there, and I saw the guy, and I hung out, and he's like, "Oh, you got a nail in the tire." I'm like, "It's not my tire, but I'm here." And then I said, "Is it good? You got it all patched? Everything's good?" He said, "It's good." I said, "Okay, see you later." And he said, "Not so quick. You got to pay for it." So when I texted my son, he said, "Thank you." And I said, "You son of a gun." You goodness gracious. Some of you are like, "Well, did you pay for it?" And your definition of whether I'm a good or bad dad will be, some of you are like, "You did, that's a good dad." And others, you, "That's a really bad dad. That's teaching independence." Hey, aren't you glad that our definition of good and bad isn't rested on our own judgments? It is God in the midst of all of us. So personally speaking, I'm a father to 6 incredible adults, 4 by birth and 2 through marriage. And I'm immeasurably proud of each of them. You know, as a dad, I don't need a tie today. I mean, if you got me a tie, that's great. All I need to do is see their faces and I'm good. And as much as I will continue to endeavor to be a dad who is becoming more and more like Jesus, I've accepted that I'll never be a perfect one. And that's not through diminishment or it's just, I'll never be perfect. There'll be moments where I have and that I'll miss. And my kids know that I'm not a perfect father. I never have to begin a conversation with them. I'm like, "I'm not perfect, you know?" And they're like, "We know." But I understand as a dad that it's the most, along with husband, it's a very cherished titles in my family, in my life. But I want you to know, when I read the life of Jesus, he had a stepfather named Joseph. But the father that he often speaks of for our benefit, not to diminish Joseph's role and responsibility, but to highlight that Joseph also needed the love of a perfect heavenly father in his life consistently to be the father that he was entrusted to be. And all I really want to say to you from a gospel place perspective is this, is we could work really, really hard today to define good fathers and bad fathers. But here's the truth of what I know about every father. In every father, there are good moments and there are bad moments. I don't know one father that looks back at all of their parenting, whether your parenting is a week old or whether it's like mine, 20, couple of decades old. And some of you are like, decades, like add a few more zeros to that. To the decades, not to the zeros, because that would be hundreds and that would be bad math. But I don't know one father I've ever been in a group with. I don't know one father that I've ever been in a conversation with who's looked back and said, "Nailed all of it." I know every dad feels stuff around being a dad. But there's one thing when I look at the life of Jesus that he models perfectly that I have tried to embrace, and it is this. I've never believed for one day that I was the only father in my kids' lives. I've never believed for one day that I was the only father in my kids' lives. Some of you are like, "That doesn't sound right." I'm not diminishing my role. I'm just saying there is a perfect heavenly father in their lives who is everything that I am not. And again, that doesn't diminish or get me off the hook in any way, shape, or form. It is just a tremendous comfort to know that when I fall short, where I need to keep growing, that God is our good and perfect Heavenly Father as I continue to grow in all ways to carry this title, Dad, well. You know, AI may be able to produce a moral lesson, but only God can grow a man. All the wisdom of this world can give you insight and instruction, but only God can grow a man. See, Jesus said these words, and we often view them in like other areas, but we don't apply them to parenting, and I think we should. Jesus said, I can only do that which I see the Father doing. And as a dad, here's all I know. If I can only do that which I see the Father doing, it means that to do anything in this world, I have the presence of a perfect Heavenly Father always available. See, the Bible repeatedly emphasizes that a father's spiritual leadership affects generations, and honestly, that is overwhelming, but it's honest. But the aim of biblical fatherhood is to accept that you need, and so men, I want to talk to you for this moment, and not just fathers, men, I want to talk to you for this moment. That biblical fatherhood is to accept that you need the love, the wisdom, and the faithful presence of a perfect Heavenly Father in all of life's seasons and stages to grow into all that God has entrusted you to carry. And here is the verse, and it's a promise for each and every one of us. Here's that verse. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says this, and I will be a father to you. And you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So my question for you dads is, as a son of the Most High, in Christ, you have access to inheritance, to every good thing. What do you have need of in this season? To those whose kids might bless you today and say these words to you, that you're a good dad. Which I don't know if there's anything more beautiful to hear. May you let God continue to grow you. And may you never stop admitting your need of this one perfect Father in your story, in all things. To those whose kids might say you've done a poor job as a dad, without excusing or diminishing anything. Your story as a dad is not over. Stages may have come and gone, but God is so good that he can write something redemptive if you continue to let him change you and transform you to look less like brokenness and more in the wholeness that he desires for your life. Dads, we need to bring all of who we are to our perfect Heavenly Father and ask him to continue to grow us to be the men that our families need. And so when I miss a mark without diminishing it whatsoever, when I miss a moment, I sure am thankful that God doesn't miss anything. And so practically speaking, how do we let our perfect Father keep growing us? Well, men, I would encourage you with three A words. The first is just approach. Mark 14, verse 36, we've already mentioned, told us to approach God, not in a formal sense, but in a family sense, as your father, and not your good father or your bad father, but as a perfect Heavenly Father, which means one thing, whatever you need, he already knows. And so you don't have to hide what is, you just have to come with what is. You got to approach. But as you come and you approach your Father, you just got to also accept. In John 1, verse 12, Jesus says, if we accept him, we have the right to become children of God. And so you got to accept, God, you love me just as I am, but you love me enough not to leave me the way I am. So you're going to keep working on me. You're going to keep growing me. You're going to keep making me more like Jesus every single day as I surrender to you. And then I want you just to acknowledge, in Luke 15, I want you to acknowledge this one truth. Then when we are at our worst and we turn to God, he's already running towards us. So men, just acknowledge every time you turn your heart to God, I want you to know, because he's perfect, he's already turned his affection towards you. In fact, he never turns away. He's as close as the mention of his name. Yeah, there are good and there are bad fathers. And there is good and then there is bad in every father's story. But the greater story of the Bible is that there is a perfect heavenly Father who never fails in any way. And because of Jesus, here's all I want you to know. Men, your identity as a dad shouldn't be just good or bad father. It should be that I want to be a gospel-centered father. What says in the good, I give you glory. And in the bad, keep working in me to make me more like you. Because of Jesus, in all things, may you as a father learn to trust God to guide you, to heal you, to grow you daily. You see, gospel-centered fathers don't live that the weight rests all on them. They take their responsibility seriously, but they embrace that they too need and have a perfect heavenly Father to be for them everything that they need. Men, because it's Father's Day, today is just a devotional. So we're gonna get you out of here a little bit earlier. Not early, early, just like 1 minute early. But this is a very spiritually important moment that we do every Father's Day. And I would like to invite to the stage all the men who are going to be pronouncing blessing over all of us today. As well, I'm 7 years away from this moment, but it's coming quick for me. If you're age 60 or older, here's what we're going to invite you to do. As these men come and pronounce blessing, if you're 60 years of age or older, we're going to invite you just to come to the front and just stand at the front. All you have to do is stand at the front. You don't have to say anything. You just got to put your arms like this. That's all you have to do. So as these men come, if you're 60 years age or older, you just have to come to the front and stand. And we want to take a moment to bless each and every one of you here today. As these men come, it is our prayer that you would trust God to be your perfect Heavenly Father.